The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I'm Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, I'm going to take advantage of this time that I know On Point with Victor just ended, and he's still sitting here, and I'm going to entice him to stay for a few minutes because, well, for one, the October surprise. Now, did you look at the possible repercussions of that? First of all, first female American president.
Yeah, I mean, they would, I'm telling you, they would see what they're going to want to do is if she's losing in the polls, like I think she will be. Look, you got to look at what they just did.
Biden was that going to change anything though with her being president versus
the excitement. Because people are stupid.
I forget.
I hate to say it that way because we have the low information voter.
Well, what they say in Men in Black? I mean, a person can be smart. People are stupid and panicky.
Stupid and panicky. Exactly. I mean, but look what they did. Joe Biden was losing. So I'm telling you, the internal polls had them, Joe Biden losing by double digits. They had the Senate being gone.
Joe Biden performed in that debate, and 3 days later he comes down with COVID. It's like,
it was quite the, but look what they did to switch that polling. They threw Biden out, said the hell with democracy, and anointed Kamala. And they accented, of course, her black side. And so the low information voter, suddenly, knowing that Kamala Harris is Biden, I mean, they are the same people.
And no Democrats got to vote in this primary system.
Yeah, nobody got to vote for her, and nobody would have voted for her.
Well, they supposedly voted for Joe.
No, they voted for Joe. But
they wouldn't let anybody run against him.
They wouldn't let anybody run against him. I mean, they won't even let RFK be on the ballot.
I know, it's crazy. Again, in a primary.
But this is the party
that's... Well, I know the Democrats love to preach democracy, which our country is not a democracy.
No,
but they love to think it is or make noise the way it is, but yet they don't want to have democracy involved in their selections.
Yep.
But if Kamala becomes the first female president, that will be a landmark.
Oh, well, it will be. But that's what I'm saying. What it'll do is there's enough low information voters out there that would look at that and go, oh my gosh, this is great. And then they'll run and some of them, despite the pain that they have been inflicted by Harris, despite not being able to afford to live, they would go run and vote for her.
They would run over that iceberg again in the Titanic.
Yeah, they'll run. They'll take the Titanic.
Back it over.
They will run right over. They will aim for a bigger iceberg, and they'll go vote for her. I'm telling you.
And they'll blame it on Trump still.
Trump needs to be prepared for this.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, this is
I think once she's in and she serves even a couple of months, there she's been. We had a female president. Okay, we're done now. Let's go back to the guy who's going to fix everything.
That's how you hope people will look at it. But I'm just afraid of the low information voter.
Because, I mean, are you hearing her go on about from day one? Day one. You've been in there over 1,000 days already.
Yeah, you've been in there for 1,000 or whatever, how many days?
1,028 days. And now it's going to be day one all of a sudden?
Now it's day one.
Why haven't you done anything since then?
You voted for all the reasons we have. Inflation and all of these price increases is because of the votes that Kamala's made. And now we're supposed to believe that she's not going to keep going that way.
Well, of course
we're supposed
she
to believe
is.
That all of a sudden she's a Republican. She's
Kamalaism,
a conservative.
Communism. Kamalaism.
That's terrible.
Yeah, whatever. That's where we're headed. So, folks, if you're not paying attention to this, you need to be because Kamala's one of the most liberal people who's ever been in government.
Liberal's not even the word. She's a progressive...
Socialist.
Marxist. I mean, she's very much
apparently
a Marxist.
I saw someone said both her parents are big Marxists.
Oh, yeah. Her dad was a Marxist teacher, I believe, or professor. And I don't mean Marxist because he believed it. I mean, he taught it. This guy was a believer in Marxism and actually spouted Marxism. This guy wanted to... Oh, man.
See, and that's the kind of thing. Do people realize what that is? Or does a Democrat or does
the
does
low information voter thinks it'll work?
Does the Democrat Party paint it in such a way that the proletariat will think it will be good for them?
I
wonder.
The Democrat Party and too many low information voters think, oh well, it'll work this time. It just wasn't done right before.
Yeah, the other 300 times it's been done before.
Every time.
Saw an article today where apparently Starbucks is getting a new CEO and his compensation package is about $113 million. Now, granted, he's running a multi-billion-dollar corporation, but the person who posted it was complaining, and the baristas only make $49,000 a year. I'm thinking,
well, then go be a CEO.
$49,000 for a person pour coffee in a cup and misspell my name,
and misspell your name, and then mispronounce it. Wow. I don't know what these
They're
people are thinking.
$50,000 a year to pour coffee in a cup and misspell my name.
That's crazy.
But yeah,
there are police officers that aren't making
exactly what was brought up.
There
said there's cops making $50,000 to $60,000 a year.
Damn.
They could quit, not get shot at,
and not be treated like crap by the Democrat Party.
Yeah, because everybody loves their barista.
Coffee. Damn.
And that doesn't include tips they probably make either. So they probably make more than
of which Harris and Biden wanted to tax more.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's things they're saying. Now, granted, I have a problem with that. You know, you say, oh, we're not going to tax tips. It's like, so does that mean any cash I get doesn't get taxed? Well, can I get in on some of that no tax stuff, too?
I would agree with you, Roger, but here's the thing. I don't mind Trump doing this because it was smart. It was smart politics because it made – look what it's made the Democrats do. It's
do
making
the same.
Them steal
well,
his policy.
They're going to say they're going to do the same thing.
This is the point Trump made. They won't do it. He actually will do it. But here's the thing about Trump. Trump is edging closer and closer to the idea of the fair tax.
I wonder if he's got that in his back pocket.
I hope so. I know that.
I mean, it's going to be a long, hard fight.
I know that
in
discussions, you know, Ron DeSantis is a supporter of the fair tax, a consumption tax. And I know Trump attacked him on it in the primary, but they've since made up. And in their discussions, I got
to
believe
that. I'd love to know behind the scenes how much time Trump and DeSantis have actually spent actually just talking to each other about policy.
More than you believe.
That's
more
what
than,
I would,
than
I would
know.
Hope.
More than you know.
Because I know DeSantis was,
more
I
than
mean,
you know
I really liked him because of his fair tax policy.
Oh, I like him, and I hope he's there in 2028.
Right. Well, I think J.D. Vance is going to be one. And
that doesn't mean he's going to win.
If they pull DeSantis in on a VP, well, it depends on how J.D. Vance does.
If J.D. Vance does well and people like him and he can win a primary, hey, I hope he chooses DeSantis. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal to see that.
But we'll see. We'll see what he does. See how he does. Hopefully, I mean, J.D. Vance could be good. He's so far
because he's an unknown right now, pretty much. I mean, he is little is known about him.
But he used to be a
he used to be an anti-Trumper.
He was an anti-Trumper. He was a Democrat. He was a big time Democrat type of guy. Which that's okay. I mean, Donald Trump used to be a big old Democrat too.
Yeah, he changed.
And he has actually Donald Trump. Coming from his Democrat roots was actually one of the most conservative presidents we've had since Ronald Reagan. Go figure.
I wouldn't say conservative. I would say libertarian.
Look at his policies. Now, I've often said Donald Trump is the first libertarian president we've actually had.
Yeah, just think about it.
But his policies can be considered conservative.
Well, his fiscal policies.
More conservative than Bush.
Fiscal policies.
Well, yeah, that's mainly what I'm talking
about. Because, I mean, he got in there and they thought for sure he was going to smack down gay marriage.
Not just fiscally, though.
It's done.
But see, gay marriage is not a conservative issue. It's not an anything issue.
No, no. It
shouldn't be a government issue, honestly.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
It
is.
Well, it hasn't been really for a long time.
No, but remember when he first got elected in 2016,
the media was trying to create
screaming Trump's going to annul my marriage.
That was the media trying to create.
And they had him on
60
minutes and he said, "Nope, it's done, it's settled."
Yeah, because it was an issue that Trump never talked about that they tried just like abortion. They're trying to make abortion an issue even though Trump's like, "What? I'm actually with you on the he really is. I mean, Trump, now that's one thing that's not I would say that's not evangelical conservatism what Donald Trump's doing, but I think Donald Trump is right on the abortion issue.
Well, he's trying to get himself out of some of these things because the federal government is not involved in most of this.
It shouldn't be
now.
A federal issue.
But of course,
it's a state.
People who don't know any better think, the federal government made abortion illegal. They did no such thing.
But Donald Trump did more for smaller government. That's a conservative.
Right.
You know,
that is.
To me, it's libertarian also.
Right.
Smaller government should be the
libertarian. Socially, I don't think he has he's not very conservative on social issues.
No, social issues, he's.
He runs casinos.
Yeah, he's much more libertarian. Well, you know, oddly enough, it's conservative Republicans that are pushing for casinos.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's Democrats that have tried to block that in a weird way. It's the same thing if you go back to Tipper Gore. It was the Democrats trying to slap labels on music and censor music. It's the Democrat Party today that's trying to censor language. You would think it would be liberal to...
Now, I had heard
it's correct. It
that they were
weird.
Talking about the marijuana laws, and Trump said, bring me the bill to legalize it. I'll sign it.
Yeah.
He said that flat out.
Yeah, no, that's very libertarian.
The Democrats did not want to have anything to do with him being able to make that
right. Yeah, right.
It wasn't because they didn't believe in it. It's because they didn't want him to be
able
to do it.
Exactly.
Because imagine how many stoners would have gone, hey, Trump made my life easier.
Trump's gonna make my life easier. But you are right. They're, because to me, that's why I refer to myself sometimes as a conservatarian. Because to me, libertarianism and conservatism are almost one and the same.
Except on social issues, they tend to go the other way.
Even on some social issues. Yeah. But when you talk about smaller government, you talk about things like that. That's
liberty over government rule.
100%. Yeah.
That's the thing. The Democrats want to control everything from cradle to grave.
Yeah. And then when it comes to some of the social issues, you see what Donald Trump's done, threading that needle, which is great, where he's taking, to me, kind of a conservative view, but a libertarian outcome.
Right. And I wonder, if he would adjust his views if his base wasn't so hardcore evangelical.
I don't know, because he's kind of changing the base. I think Trump's changing the base.
He's drawing people in from a little further out from where he was.
100%.
The hardcore right wing is always going to vote Republican unless they just decide to stay home.
And they've done it before. That's the problem with the Republicans. See, the Democrats, you never get, the hardcore will never stay home. They'll never sit it out.
But the Republicans will.
Remember back in Bush barely beat Gore because so many evangelicals stayed at home and didn't vote.
I thought he barely beat him because of Ross Perot. Was that?
No, that was the previous Bush. That was before. That was when Clinton.
This was Bush Senior, right?
Yeah, this is Bush versus Gore.
The whole Florida hanging Chad thing.
Barely won that because, when you look at the numbers, it's just like when you look at the numbers in 2020 when Georgia lost their two senators.
Yeah.
We had 300,000 Republicans who didn't vote.
Right.
You can't win if you don't vote.
Just like the lottery. You can't win if you don't play.
Yeah. So.
It's crazy.
But anyway, I'm going to get going here.
All right.
But you got a story that I want to hear.
There's a Georgia city that is now fining some victims of gun thefts because of them being irresponsible, or they're saying that they're responsible for what their gun has done after it was stolen from them because they didn't secure it properly.
Man, I mean, this is a pure Democrat and backdoor way again to try to ban
gun control.
Guns.
Yeah. Now imagine if they did this with your car. Someone steals your car, runs through a shopping center or something.
Yeah.
But they blame you because your car was stolen.
Not the criminal. But you, someone who's never committed a crime, this is unbelievable.
I know.
Which dumbass city is doing this? This is in Savannah, Georgia. Of course it is.
Our home state.
You want to know why Savannah never was the Atlanta of Georgia? You know, people
stupid.
Would think. Yes. They're stupid. I mean, you would think when you go out to Savannah and you see it's a coastal, I mean, it's a beautiful area.
Yeah.
You would think, man, why isn't that California? Right. But you would think, why isn't that the capital of Georgia? Well, because they're stupid.
They're stupid. And they weren't centrally located in the southeast either.
Yeah, that's true. But still, it was on the coast.
Yeah, but they're giving tickets to people who get their guns stolen. Now, you must report it immediately if you have a gun stolen.
So you know what's going to happen.
Assuming you know.
No one's going to report it now.
Yeah.
No one's going to report it, and they're not going to. But see, here's the thing. They get you two ways. It's a backdoor gun control, but it's also, if you don't report it, then you're never going to get your gun back. And then, boom, they confiscate your
weapon. But here they're saying it was 83 instances of firearms that were taken from unlocked or locked vehicles. So even if it's locked in your vehicle, they're holding you responsible for this.
This is messed up. If Kemp doesn't get ahead of this, then he does.
Apparently, it's in violation of a Georgia law that's in effect now.
Well, yes,
they're violating Georgia law now.
But Kemp's got to be. Kemp needs to be out in public on this, does the Attorney General, Chris Carr.
Yeah,
I think that's his name. They need to be out in front of this. Because you can't sit back and let this hit the courts. You got to be out in front going, no, Kemp and the Attorney General Carr should sue this city before they even have a
chance.
Just
imagine if this went, if this becomes the law that rules everything.
That's what it will be.
Your car gets stolen, your power saw, power saw to your neighbor, he cuts his arm off, he sues
somebody
you.
Somebody borrows your hammer and uses it to smack Pelosi's husband again, then you're at fault.
You're at fault because you didn't lock up your hammer.
Even if you did lock it up.
They're receiving fines or warnings over the past month for this.
See, again, if Kemp, I know that you're going to run for Senate. And if you want a successful Senate run, you better get on top of this.
Yeah, I mean, this is because just, I mean, whoever runs unbelievable that this is actually going through.
Yeah.
That they're actually finding people for not securing your weapon and taking care of it.
It's but like, you know who they won't find? The criminal.
Yeah, the guy who steals it.
Who they won't punish? The criminal. The guy who steals it and uses it for unlawful means.
He's not going to get in trouble.
Nope. It's but ridiculous. The law-abiding citizen who jumps through hoops to have a gun
and get a permit
and do everything right,
whatever he wants to do.
I'm sorry, my permit is the Second Amendment.
That's right. My gun permit is Amendment number two.
I don't know if I sent this out. I know it's on my social media, thanks to my also social media girl. But there's a meme out there, Roger, that it's got some lady, young girl, and there's a comedian. I don't know his name, but she's repeating what the comedian says. And basically the comedian says, you know, our founding fathers, number two.
Number two in the list.
It's number two.
Yeah, that's all
number
that.
Two. So they made number one, and they said, hey, you can say whatever you want. And then they went, may want to get a gun.
To make sure.
So, get a gun.
Yes.
I mean, it's a funny
say what you want,
meme.
But get a gun.
Yeah, but it's a funny. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's a reel. Yeah, I see it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that was great.
Because
he's like,
it was great,
and it's so
number
obvious.
Number two.
It's number two, and it's one of the most concise amendments in the Constitution.
Yeah. There's no ambiguity.
Simple, straightforward, concise.
No ambiguity
and yet,
to number two.
Politicians will swear an oath to uphold the Constitution and then turn around on day one and violate their oath and violate the Constitution.
Yeah.
That makes me ill.
By taking away your coveted.
Because they think that you are not smart enough to know how to protect yourself.
It's not just a Bill of Rights. It's number two.
It's number two. That's right.
Number two.
If you got rid of 80% of the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment would still be there.
It's still going to be there. It's number two.
Top 20%.
They said number one. You could say whatever you want. But
get a gun.
You better get a gun. You might want to get a gun.
That's right. Oh.
I got to find out who that comedian is.
Yeah, you sent that reel out. It was funny. And it's true, too, though.
Number two.
And the fact is, number one is only available because of number two.
Because of number two.
Because number two kind of backs up number one going, yeah, you have the right.
Number two.
And don't even say
holds it all together.
Deer hunting. Don't even talk to me about deer hunting.
Don't talk to me about hunting.
These
please.
Founding fathers just went through a war
bloody,
to gain freedom.
One of the
from
bloodiest
the most
wars
powerful
ever.
Empire in the world.
One of the most
the
bloodiest
time.
Wars ever that put family member against family member. And they fought that.
Yeah. And they did it against the most powerful empire in the world at the time.
Yeah. You had some American British sympathizers.
Oh, yeah.
That fought against their own.
Supposedly,
people.
They're having similar issues in the Ukraine. A lot of Ukrainians are Russian sympathizers.
Oh, yeah, because parts of Ukraine still consider themselves
Russian because Russia took them over for so long.
I mean, that's a whole other discussion. That will end, I think, as soon as Trump's elected.
Because he's going to talk to Putin and say, look, what do we need to do to fix this?
He's going to. I hope Trump. Look,
Putin was not being unreasonable in what he wanted.
Well, I'm not gonna look at Trump. Putin's a bad guy. Anyway, you look at it.
Right.
I'm not gonna try to sugarcoat it.
He was KGB and all that. Yeah.
But he shouldn't have started this. But it should have never gotten.
Biden should not have fast tracked the Ukraine.
Exactly. Biden enabled Russia to do. He enabled Putin. It's almost like he invited Putin to attack Ukraine.
Right. By saying we're going to rush them into NATO.
We don't want
missiles on our border.
It's very much the Democrats caused. I don't care what anybody says. Democrat caused this war.
Yeah,
this
without
blood's
a
on
doubt.
Their hands. Because it would never have happened under.
But Zelensky
Trump.
Got rich off
never,
of it.
Like I said before,
because he knows the big guy.
It's like I said before. Who's getting rich? The Bidens are getting rich. The Democrats are getting rich,
and
maybe some other politicians. It could be. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Zelensky's family is very rich. How on earth can you be a tiny country like Ukraine? And you're whining and again, Russia shouldn't have done what they did.
No, they
but
should not.
But you're going to run around with Hollywoodians while your people are being killed, and you're over here running around, and your family has gotten
richer.
I would think in a war you get poorer.
He was a comedian for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
That's how he started his career.
Yeah.
So he went from comedian to politician, and now he's a billionaire.
And I'm pretty sure he's made more money in war time than he did as a comedian.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. It's not like he has family money coming into this.
Oh, my goodness.
But Biden says, oh, no, we'll get you into NATO quick. We'll expedite it. And Putin's like, what the hell just happened?
No, Biden enabled it. And then not only did Biden do that, Biden made Russia rich again. I mean, they made Russia rich. Trump stopped the pipeline for Russia. He stopped their ability to get the money. They were
to be able to fund all these wars.
Europe for their gas usage, and now Biden made them, and now Trump, Russia's rich again, so Russia could afford to go to war.
Now they can afford to go to war.
Yay. Just like Iran. Iran can afford to attack Israel. Iran couldn't do that before.
Trump had them under sanctions that kept them under a tight
leash. Donald Trump said, you ain't getting squat. You will be poor. Until you decide to act right.
You go to your room until you decide to behave.
Yeah. When you behave, I'll let you have some money.
That's right. When you can come play with everybody and nice, and you can play.
That's what I love about Trump, and I don't understand how people can't see past his whatever faults they see.
Because
when you look at the world stage,
I know.
You look at Donald Trump basically, and see, I don't have a problem with this. There's no reason you shouldn't talk to an enemy. There's no reason that you shouldn't go to an enemy.
How are you
going
to solve anything
if you don't talk to them? But I love it because Trump will go to Iran and say, look, I want you to be happy. I want you to be wealthy. I want you to thrive. But you're not going to have a nuclear weapon. You're not going to kill innocent people. You're not going to sponsor terrorists. Okay? So let's get to that, and then you can have these other things.
Well, it's like you went to North Korea.
Yeah,
and told them,
the same
look south.
Yeah.
See all that industrialization?
See all that?
Don't you want to be in charge of that in this country?
Wouldn't you like to be a leader of people that are happy like that?
And making billions of dollars for your country.
And making money and living, not hiding
your
porn. You can be happy about your porn.
Everybody in the world probably has something made in Korea, South Korea.
Think about it.
Phones, cars, TV screens, anything electronic.
And Trump had him believing that there was something better. And now that little pipsqueak is back to his old ways because of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And
because
Harris.
He ignored him again.
And because of cackling Harris.
And the thing is, you can't not talk to your enemies because
you have to talk things out. Because you never know what you could convince an enemy that there's a better way. Who knows?
Well, don't treat them like an enemy.
Could become a friend.
Don't treat them like an enemy.
How many times has Russia been our ally and not our ally? Our ally
it's
not,
been back
I mean,
and forth.
So,
I can't believe Trump is talking to Putin. It's like, how else are you going to fix anything if you don't talk?
Yeah, if you don't talk, you will go to war.
Yeah.
If you don't talk. And what good is war? War is not a good thing.
Whether you like it or not, Trump was a prime negotiator.
Yes.
That was his extreme talent. He was a negotiator beyond any other president we've ever had.
I mean, I'm telling you.
Come on.
Donald Trump.
The art of the deal.
The art of the deal. Donald Trump deserved re-election based on one action that he did, and that's when he stood in front of the Taliban and he pulled out a picture of this douchebag's house. And he said, you see this? You didn't think that I knew where you were? I can kill you and I will kill you. That's what Donald Trump did. Right
well,
in front
like-
of this guy. The translator was pissing his pants because he didn't want to translate what Donald Trump was saying. And Donald Trump stood there and goes, you tell him. But that guy didn't need to understand English to know what Donald Trump was saying.
Yeah.
Because
well,
when
like,
you pull out a satellite photo of like your hiding place.
Yes. It's like the second in charge in Iran. He thought he was safe.
Oh,
he was sponsoring soldiers.
He sure did.
He was
Soleimani.
He put bounties on the heads of American soldiers.
Soleimani was responsible for many American deaths.
And he thought he was safe.
Donald Trump said.
And he calls him, says, hey, there's an Amazon package over at the airport. Let's go pick that up.
And you know,
boom!
You know what?
Blew the
Donald
whole airport
Trump
up.
Told that Ayatollah fool. He goes, don't mess with Americans.
Don't test me.
Don't do it. He goes, you will pay the price. And then they went and killed more Americans and Donald Trump. And that was the first Americans when they were killing under Trump. And Donald Trump went in and said, Soleimani, you're done.
That's it. You're done.
And he showed the world.
Jersey Mafia.
Donald Trump showed the world what the U.S. could still do.
That's right.
And see, here's the thing. I love Donald Trump's approach to foreign policy because Donald Trump doesn't want to go to war.
Right.
But Donald Trump will crush you if you drag us to
Don't
war.
Kill his dog.
See, we're not going to exactly. Donald Trump would be the John Wick on the world stage, Roger. That's a great analogy.
Given the chance.
That's a great analogy.
Don't antagonize him. He'll live his life in peace. Everybody will be in peace. The
Donald
world will be
Trump,
a better place.
I believe Donald Trump will go through hoops and ladders and everything else to get you to go to the peace side.
To negotiate.
But he's going to try to do, he will try and help any way he can. But I believe if you drag us to war, Donald Trump will crush you because that's what war is. And that's what the Democrats
want.
Well,
it's not
even. The Democrats use war to make money.
Right. See, Donald
Trump.
And so do
some Republicans.
Now, he used violence, but he used it quick,
but
concisely,
decisive,
done.
And overpowering.
And everybody looked at them like, oh my God, what just happened?
If.
And he didn't continue after that. He just said, that was your warning.
Look what Donald Trump did,
don't do
to,
it again.
Did to ISIS.
Yeah.
Obama said, oh, you never exterminate ISIS. Donald Trump exterminated ISIS.
Yeah, watch
ISIS
this.
Is coming back only because of Joe Biden.
He told Obama, get out of my chair.
Yeah, get out of my chair. Because the United States, we have the ability, and we should. We should never go into conflict without the ultimate goal of winning.
Right. Oh,
and
absolutely. The U.S. history has shown we've done this too many times.
Yeah, because of why? Because of mostly Democrats and stupid Republicans.
War is a business.
It is a business.
And
I hate to say it.
Trump
it is a business.
Is into other businesses.
And we shouldn't be in the business of death.
Right.
We should be in the business of prosperity, which, again, you're right. Trump is a businessman.
But
he's like, well, I make money. I don't want to make death.
Yeah. Once he shut down the guy in Iran, though, everything got calm all of a sudden.
Everything. You didn't say, and just like when he looked at the Afghani, the Taliban leader in the face and said, I'll kill you.
Yes.
I'll kill you. There's no ambiguity.
Yeah.
I'll kill you. And here's where you think you're hiding.
Yes.
I mean, that kind of leadership, and not one American was attacked. Not one American was killed until Biden came along.
Well, it's like there was a guy named Jeff Cooper. He was a big gun guy. And he said, you carry a gun by its use or the threat thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And all Trump had to do is he made the threat.
Yeah.
But they know he would follow through.
But they know he would follow through.
That's right.
Because
they know you're going to follow through, all of a sudden the threat becomes all that needs to be done.
You know what Putin said one time about Trump?
No.
And this is to your point, Roger. Putin said, Putin looked at Trump at one point and said, you won't do that. And Trump said, oh, I just might. And Putin said about Trump, he goes, you know, for you people who say that Trump is my best friend, I would hate to see him as an enemy.
Yeah,
Putin
there you go.
That.
Yeah.
And Putin said, he goes, because I don't know, I can't look at Trump and know if he really is going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do, but I know what Biden's going to do.
Right.
I know what Hillary's going to do.
Yeah.
But
Trump being a bit of an unknown makes him more powerful on the world stage.
Huge, and it makes him a hell of a negotiator.
That's right. Art of
the deal.
I actually have my signed copy from the first election.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You donate, I think it was like 75 or 100 bucks, and you get a signed copy of Art of the Deal from him. Yeah, with pictures and everything. I got all that stuff from 2016.
That's awesome.
Because I wasn't going to vote for the Hildebeest.
Oh, gosh, the Hildebeest? No. Hey,
Jesus,
I donated to Trump this time because it's trying to throw him in jail and once for getting shot.
Oh,
still
man, Trump is so gangster, though.
And,
come on.
He is gangster, man.
He got three baby mamas. He got 34
felonies. He got 34 felony counts.
He been shot. I mean, any rapper would kill for that rap.
I mean, any rapper would want this guy's street cred.
That's right.
I mean, Donald Trump's got some cred.
And when he says he's coming for you,
he's coming
for you.
They're about to put him in jail.
Oh,
that judge in New York. He wants to put Trump in jail. I'm telling you, anybody who thinks that they're not going to try to put Trump in jail, that's
and
coming next. That's going to be the September surprise.
You know, that's
going to be September.
I saw, I guess, a little explanation. They showed Trump's head and the bullet going past him and hit him in the air. And they said, you know, 2 inches to the right, civil war. To the left, cheaper groceries.
Oh, wow.
You know, have they killed Trump during that assassination attempt? Oh, my God. I hate to think what kind of uproar there would have been and how things would have shaken out from then.
It would have been awful. Awful.
Yeah, but it's just, oh, man. But the fact that he survived, it boosted him tremendously.
Yeah, well.
When he got convicted, donations are up $500 million.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't remember, he was losing to Ron DeSantis until he got convicted.
Yeah.
And when he got convicted,
bam,
there was
DeSantis
no stopping.
DeSantis standing on the ground kind of looking up like, where'd you go?
Yeah, where'd you go? And I tell you, in September, I promise you, the Democrats are screaming to not, for this judge to
settle
not
down.
Put him in jail.
Right, because if he
this
does,
judge wants to put him in jail. And I think Trump's number, and this is where I said.
Could you imagine him going to jail in front of the media?
Oh man. I'm telling you.
People
and his numbers are going to go through the roof.
Out.
Kamala's numbers are going to drop, and then they're going to push Joe Biden over a cliff for reals.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. Thanks for hanging out with us, Victor. Appreciate that. On Point with Victor at 1 p.m. on Tuesdays. All right, I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you've been listening to America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Hal Schurz from the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I want to thank you for your support. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Our website is www.d4pcfoundation.org. We need you to support our organization so that we can continue to bring you this show and the information that you need so that you can support the healthcare of you and your family.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2 only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello ladies and gentlemen, I'm Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded. And we're back on America's Web Radio. Now, before we left for the break and got all distracted by politics, which happens, but you know what? Guns only have two weapons in this world. Two enemies. Guns only have two enemies. Rust and politicians. And the politicians are the ones who are of most danger now, because most gun finishes have evolved to the point where rust is not as big of a factor as it has been in the past. So right now we're looking at politicians trying to take guns away. And like I say, we keep saying the Second Amendment is supposed to be abided by. It's supposed to be the law of the land. But so many people decide that they don't like guns, so they're going to try and do something different about it. And like I say, we're talking about briefly in Savannah. Apparently now in Savannah, they're mandating gun owners to promptly report all lost or stolen weapons to the police. Now, assuming you know it was stolen, and they're requiring gun owners to keep their firearms locked in secure compartments when left inside their vehicles. Now, I don't know how secure a compartment's going to be. I mean, can you lock it in your glove box? What if it's locked in your car? Your car is a pretty secure environment. Now, granted, if you leave it out on the front seat and you lock your car, that's probably not a good idea, because nobody really wants to get anything stolen from them. But the fact that people will break into a locked car, steal a gun, and then the person who had the crime committed against him is the one who gets the fine? It's insane that this is something that can happen. I mean, imagine this applies to any other type of property that you own. Imagine that just for a minute. Say, okay, your neighbor borrows your power saw, cuts his arm off. He sues you because you loaned him the saw. It's your fault. You're responsible for that. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's ridiculous. That could never happen. Well, here someone steals something from you, uses it to commit a crime, or at least just steals it from you, and you're responsible for what happens to it. They fine you for allowing him to break in and steal it. Then again, you could turn that around and say, okay, we're going to sue the police for not stopping them from breaking into my car. But of course, the Constitution has already, the Supreme Court has already spoken on that and said the police are not responsible for any crimes that happen. Even because they can't get there in time. It's not their responsibility. And can you get to your car in time if someone's breaking into it? Not always, but I bet sometimes you can. But then what are you going to do? You're going to stop the criminal yourself because the police aren't there to do it for you? I don't know. And they take this gun from you, and then I don't know how much responsibility you have at that point. But you can be fined if they take it from you. Just if they take it from you, not even if it's used anywhere, you can get a, you can receive a fine and a warning if they take your gun from you out of a locked vehicle. Locked vehicle. It's locked in a vehicle, which is a seems it's a secure compartment. Your locked car is a pretty secure compartment. And if someone steals your gun from there, you get fined. I don't know how this could ever go into effect and how this can even be legal. It's absolutely insane that this can happen. This is a city ordinance in Savannah, Georgia. And supposedly they're reviewing each case on a case-by-case basis to determine if a citation is warranted. So imagine getting a ticket after you just have a piece of your property stolen out of your car. And they're going to give you a ticket on top of that. This is absolutely ridiculous that this is happening. It's unbelievable that this is the way things are done in Savannah, Georgia. They'll prosecute the victim of the crime, give them a fine, give them a ticket, rather than go after the criminal. Well, I don't know. They may go after the criminal also, but the fact that the victim gets fined and gets a citation is beyond ridiculous. The fact that they can do this is, it's just shocking to me. I just cannot believe how stupid this is. This is unbelievable that this is actually happening. Now, the thing is, there's a state law that says this, that you cannot be held responsible for your weapon if it was stolen from you, which is pretty legit. I mean, you can't be responsible for anything once it's stolen from you. Once you're out of possession of it, what happens with it is not necessarily, you don't have the ability to affect somebody who's got it and is going to do something with it. So this may come down to a clash between state law and city ordinance. And hopefully the governor of Georgia, if you're listening, which you're probably not, but you need to take a look at this and see if there's anything the state of Georgia can do to prevent ridiculous laws like this from going into effect and people getting fined for being the victim of a crime. So it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, they should stop burglars from committing crimes instead of prosecuting or citing victims for being a victim of crime. It's absolutely ridiculous. And what do they determine is a secure compartment? I mean, banks get robbed. They have secure compartments. Does that mean any money that those crooks spend is going to be the responsibility of the bank? The bank is going to be responsible for any bad doing that that money does? Are they going to be responsible for those people's money when it gets stolen? They need to be fined and cited for that if a bank gets robbed? It's absolutely ridiculous. Completely, I don't even know where to go with this. It's complete communism. Completely out of control. These city governments are trying so hard to fight against gun ownership. And you wonder, why would they be? Why is it they're against the common citizen and they're not against the burglars and the criminals and all that kind of stuff? I just don't get it. So, but you know what? Even if they can't necessarily control the guns as much as they want to, because the Second Amendment is still there, and as of now, the Supreme Court has been ruling in favor of a lot of gun laws being overturned, changed, or defended against. The bump stocks. Bump stocks are now legal again. If you had a bump stock, it's legal. Of course, you probably had to fish it out of the river or the lake or whatever that is to be able to recover it, because I'm sure you disposed of it properly. However, some people gave their bump stocks to the ATF. They turned them into the government. But now that they're legal again, you're enabled to get them back from the ATF. However, you must fill out forms and paperwork and file things with the government. And if it's not done within 90 days, then you sacrifice your ownership of that particular piece of equipment. Instead of just sending it back to the people it came from, instead of just handing it back to the people where they take it, law-abiding citizens have to fill out forms and do paperwork to get their own property back from the ATF. And apparently they're making it extremely complicated. They're making it extremely difficult. So most people will not fall within the 90-day deadline to get their bump stocks back if they handed them in. Because remember, bump stocks were taken with no compensation whatsoever. These people were not compensated for their loss of property, which is, again, is illegal, especially when it was legal a few days before and then they changed the law and you're not compensated for that. There's legal issues there as well. I don't know how that's supposed to work. But, again, here we go. So these people who had bump stocks, I mean, you got to decide, is it worth these hours worth of time you're going to have to go filling out forms, making copies of things, sending stuff into the ATF, having them wait? There's a 90-day deadline. If they don't get to your file before that, does that count? I don't know. They haven't said anything about time frame. So if you file before the 90 days, but they take longer than that to get to it, you may sacrifice your ownership of this particular piece of equipment. And you don't want to do that. You paid good money for it. There's no reason when you bought it in good faith. You bought it. It was a legal accessory to own. There was no problem with possessing it, having it, buying it, owning it, using it. There was no legal issues with that. In fact, it wasn't even regulated at the time. You did not have to fill out forms to get it. You order it through the mail. It comes to your house. You can install it on whatever weapon you want. And it enables the weapon, I guess, to react a certain way to enable you to pull the trigger faster. That's all it did. It did not change the mechanism of the gun. It did not turn it into a machine gun. It made it able to fire a little faster if you mastered the way it functioned, the way it worked. It did not change the mechanical mechanism of the gun at all. It did not make it into a machine gun by any stretch of the imagination. It did not do that. All it did was make it easier to bump fire a weapon. Now, before you get all bent out of shape and say, oh, we can bump fire it so much faster. First of all, it's not very accurate, but that's beside the point. You can bump fire a weapon with a belt loop and a pencil eraser. You don't need a fancy piece of plastic to be able to bump fire a weapon. It's just the way the trigger works. If you can move your trigger finger faster, then they're going to say all of a sudden, is your finger a machine gun because it can pull the trigger faster than somebody else? Of course not. That's completely ridiculous. This is just a piece of equipment that enables you to pull the trigger faster. It doesn't change the mechanism of the gun. It doesn't allow you to pull the trigger and hold it down and fire until it's empty. No. It just enables the weapon to move when you hold it in your hand a certain way. Now, if you ever fired one of these, you know, it doesn't just work every time. You actually have to get used to the way it kind of bounces a little bit. You have to be able to hold it loosely enough, enable it to work properly to be able to get the faster firing rate. And it's not easy to do. I've done it a couple of times, and every now and then you get a little run where you can get a few good bumps out of it, you know, in a row. But a lot of times it's difficult to function properly. It's not a fully automatic weapon by any stretch. It's semi-automatic, and it just helps your finger move faster. But now these people are having trouble getting their own property back. It says you have to send in the form, and the letter states you'll be contacted by someone from the local ATF field office to arrange retrieval of your bump stocks. So they're not just going to can these people back their bump stocks. They got to file paperwork. They have to make arrangements and hope that the ATF will contact them within the 90-day deadline. So instead of just returning it, the ATF has established some big bureaucratic paperwork burden on law-abiding citizens who took the right steps, who followed the law, who obeyed the law, did what they were supposed to do based on the ATF's incorrect assessment of this particular accessory. So now the ATF is dragging their feet, trying to keep people from getting their property back. So I feel sorry for it. If you have a bump stock that you handed in and you want to try and get it back, I would love to hear about the process. If anybody knows, you can email me, roger@americaswebradio.com. Let me know what the procedure was. I'm going to look it up before next week and see exactly what it is. But from what I understand, it's extremely difficult. It takes a lot of time, and you shouldn't have to do this to get your own property back. This was something you purchased in good faith, and it became illegal after you owned it, and you got no compensation for it, and they're willing to give it back to you, but you got to jump through all these hoops to get it. So I hope this changes. This is kind of ridiculous, just the fact that you have to do all this to get something that was yours to start with. Because the ATF overstepped in their attempt to take these away in the first place. They're legal for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, one guy uses one in an illegal situation, violates the law, and all of a sudden, all the accessories he used are now, they want to make him illegal. And they did. And unfortunately, Trump was complicit in this. He was the one who said they needed to do this. He was the one who allowed this to happen. Because he actually ultimately is in control of the ATF. Now, to be honest, I don't think Trump is much of a gun guy. He probably knows enough about the politics of them, but I bet he does not have a good idea of how these things function, how they work, and how different they are from a fully automatic weapon. So I hope these people get their bump stocks back. I hope they streamline the process. And if you want it, you should be able to get it back with no issue. but that's up and coming. I just don't know. The fact that they were made legal again, I think, is a great move forward for freedom. It's a great move forward for the Second Amendment. To have a law that restricts what kind of accessory you can put on something, it's kind of silly. I mean, I could just imagine taking my Toyota Camry out, putting some racing stripes on it, put some new wheels on it, boom, all of a sudden I've got a race car and it's not legal to drive it on the street. It's got accessories on it. It's a race car now. No, it's not a race car. It is a Camry. This is a semi-automatic rifle. It's not a fully automatic weapon because you put an accessory on it. You put a racing stripe on it, does not make it fully automatic. You put a pistol grip on it, does not make it any more dangerous. You put a flash suppressor or a muzzle brake on it, does not make it any more dangerous, does not make it any more deadly. It's strictly cosmetics what these people are talking about. And the Democrats, especially now, they are trying to change what they're doing for their gun control platform has been posted, I believe, to their website. Let's see. Yeah, Kamala Harris isn't offering any specifics on her anti-gun agenda, but the party platform is out. It was released ahead of this convention, and they're not stopping with a ban on assault weapons. Of course, they're going after what they call, quote-unquote, assault weapons. Semi-automatic rifles is what they want to go after. They don't want anybody to have a semi-automatic rifle. So if you just purchased an AR-15 or you have any kind of semi-automatic rifle, you may be in danger of losing your weapon. You may be in danger of having to give it up with zero compensation if they change this law the way they did with the bump stocks. Because, you know, I hate to pick parties, but the Democrats have long since been the opponent of gun rights. However, before I say that, I'm going to tell you, Trump was the one who was in charge of banning the bump stocks. Bush was in charge of limiting imports of semi-automatic military-style rifles. And Reagan passed the Hughes Act, which made it illegal to own a fully automatic weapon manufactured after 1986. So most of the big gun restriction laws that happened in the past 50 years or so happened under Republican presidents. So as much as you may think they're for guns or for gun rights, they're not. They're causing more of the restrictions we've ever had under Democrats. Now, Clinton did get the crime bill passed in, what was that, 1994. He passed the crime bill, which restricted magazine capacity to 10 rounds and no more. However, that bill had a sunset on it, which means in 2004, when Bush was president, he decided not to renew that particular bill. So the crime bill expired in 2004, and boom, you could have standard capacity magazines again instead of just the restricted capacity mags. These weapons were designed to handle certain magazines, and Clinton's bill, the crime bill, tried to restrict the number of rounds you were allowed to have or the number of bullets you could have in your gun based on safety factors. But yet, I bet Clinton's bodyguards or Clinton's Secret Service had whatever they wanted, because it's unfortunate that still too many politicians to this day deem themselves as elite. They deem themselves as royalty. They deem themselves as above the common man. The common man shouldn't have these rights. Only politicians should have these rights. Basically, we're right back to a king trying to rule over his subjects. The subjects don't have any rights. Just the kings and the dukes and the duchesses, they have the rights because they're more important than the common citizen. Our country was founded on the idea that all men are created equal. Don't send me a message about slavery. I understand it was a dark time in our history and has since been corrected. But the fact that they took upon themselves, where each person should be able to own a firearm or the right to keep and bear arms, was not to be infringed upon, and yet there's all these laws infringing on weapons every single day. Every politician will swear to you he's not going to do something, and then he goes and does it anyway. It's horse hockey, complete bull squeeze that they do this kind of stuff. They have no intention of upholding the Constitution at all. They have their own ideas of how they think things should be, and they don't abide by the Constitution. Now, the Supreme Court lately has been ruling in favor of some gun control acts being illegal. I think the one in Chicago was the latest one. They had one that came into being. They were basically going to try and make every semi-automatic weapon illegal. to even own. And they're still dealing with magazine bans and stuff like that, standard capacity magazines being banned, things like that. And in California, I think it's still up in the air there. They're pushing it in front of the Ninth Circus Court is going to have to decide on that one more time. Judge Benitez overruled it twice. And for one glorious week, they had Freedom Week in California where they were allowed to purchase magazines, any standard capacity or overcapacity magazines they wanted to for 1 week. And they were all legal. And over almost 1.5 million magazines were shipped into the state of California during that time. So, and it's funny because magazine manufacturers were having a ball with that. And any order you placed in California, whether it was fulfilled or not within that week, if it was placed within that week, it was legal to come into California and it was legal for you to possess. And that has been tested too. There were several people stopped and they had standard capacity magazines, which in California is generally a no-no, but they claim they purchased them during Freedom Week and the police were not going to go beyond that, what they said. You know, you don't have to have a receipt to prove it. You don't have to, you know, have anything like that. You can just say you purchased it during that time as long as you're aware of that. So if you're in California and you own any high capacity magazines, make sure you know what week Freedom Week was. I don't have that information right offhand, but get it, write down the dates, put a note in your phone so you know you purchased those magazines between those dates. I'm not telling you to lie, but I'm saying if you bought them, make sure they were ordered between those dates. That 1 week, I think it went from like a Friday to Friday, if I'm not mistaken. And by the next Friday, they had shut it down, or the next Monday, they shut it down. And they put an injunction in place in the meantime until they could solve everything. And it's still in the court system now. And the injunction is still in place. Now, the other thing was pistol braces. Pistol braces were legal for about 12 years. They sold about 40 million of them to the U.S. citizens, to U.S. citizens in this country. And people have been using them, practicing with them, making them, you know, part of their functional weapons for over a dozen years. And now all of a sudden the ATF has called back on that and said, oh no, we don't think you should have these anymore because it turns it into a short-barreled rifle. Well, then why was it legal for 12 years and 40 million sales before you decided to pick it up and change it? Because the Biden administration asked them to do something about gun control. They wanted to pass some sort of gun control to appeal to their base. So they went after the pistol braces. And it's solid because the law was passed in 1934 that said you couldn't have a rifle with too short of a barrel. You could have a pistol with any length barrel you want, but you could not have a rifle with a shorter barrel. Which it seems kind of, I don't understand because it seems crazy, and you can't put a stock on a pistol was the original rule. Now they have stabilizing braces you can put on almost any pistol out there. There were a few exceptions. Certain collector's items were allowed to have stocks attached to pistols. But now they have rifle caliber pistols that run with an accessory called a pistol brace, and it helps them shoot more accurately, easier to control, and they want to take that away from people. They want to take it away, not let you shoot more easily, not make it more accurate. So inherently making these weapons more dangerous is what they were looking for. And they think that's okay. They think there's no problem with making your weapon more dangerous and making it harder and harder to shoot accurately. And they think that's good. For some reason, that's supposed to be good. But apparently that's still in court, and there's an injunction now saying you're allowed to have them now until the final decision comes down. And it looks like things are heading towards the way of freedom. It looks like the pistol braces are going to be released again. A lot of people are selling them now. Right now they're available. They're legal. However, I wouldn't tell you to purchase one at the moment unless you're pretty sure you're going to keep it secure, or if they have some sort of grandfathering in clause, or they have some sort of another amnesty period. Now, when they passed the laws on pistol braces, they said, okay, you have 120 days to register this pistol-braced weapon as a short-barrel rifle. And the best thing about that was if you had planned on doing it anyway, all of a sudden you do it and there's zero tax stamp. The $200 tax stamp goes away. They would give you the tax stamp for free if you registered your weapon during that time period. But that time period came and went, and it went back to the courts, and everyone was supposed to hand in their pistol braces or destroy them or take them off the weapon. But if you had it in your possession and you had a weapon that it could be fit on, you were still going to get yourself in trouble. But now that's been reversed, overturned, and there's an injunction in place to stop the law from being enforced for the moment. It still has not been decided. However, I'm really hoping that pistol braces will get through this unscathed and you'll still be able to have them and enjoy being able to shoot a short-barreled or long-barreled pistol that chamber for a rifle cartridge accurately and easily, and most importantly, safely. To be able to do that is going to make everything better. More accurate equals more safety. Less likely to miss a target. Less likely to have misfires if you can control it better. All these things are for safety. It's like the Hearing Protection Act, which I haven't heard from anything in a while. I've heard they're trying to bring it back and get a vote on it to allow suppressors to be sold just as any other handgun. Now, you can buy a suppressor just like any other handgun, and there will be no tax stamp, no federal registration, none of that BS, other than the standard registration you go through when you purchase a pistol. And you do have to get, you do have to fill out a 4473 form when you're purchasing a handgun. You have to be over 21 years or older to be able to purchase one. Same thing with the suppressor. If the Hearing Protection Act goes into effect, or the Shush Act, or whatever it's called, it's been in several iterations, have been filtering down through Congress and Senate in the last couple of decades. And if they get this passed, then you'll be able to purchase a suppressor just like any other pistol, not have to worry about tax stamps, storage, any of the other Class 3 BS that you have to go through now. And what is that going to do? It's going to protect your hearing. You're going to be able to go to the range, go out to an outdoor area where you want to shoot, and not have to worry about your hearing protection being just the right kind or being able to hold your ears against the noise it's going to make. The suppressor will take care of a lot of the noise. It'll take care of a lot of damage to your ears if you're not shooting with the exact right kind of ear protection. So this is something I'd really like to see happen, and I don't know if it will. I mean, because the Firearms Control Act was passed in 1934, which limited suppressors, limited short barrel rifles, limited fully automatic weapons to a $200 tax stamp and a more intense federal background check. Now, since then, in 1986, the whole fully automatic weapon thing went away. You weren't allowed to own anything manufactured after 1986. So let's see, 96, 2006, 2016, almost 40 years ago since any fully automatic weapons were allowed to be manufactured for civilians. Before that, you could buy any fully automatic you wanted if you followed through with the federal procedure, filled out the forms, got the intense background check, got fingerprinted, got your tax stamp, then you could own the weapon. And then you could have it, and that was it. But then in 86, Reagan passed the Hughes Act, which limited anything after 86 to dealers only. You had no choice anymore if you wanted a fully automatic weapon. But since 1934, when the initial laws were passed on fully automatic suppressors and short-barreled rifles, I believe only two times in the history of our country was a semi-automatic or suppressor used in committing a crime. So, obviously, let's see, 34 to 2024, in 90 years, there's only been two instances of this. And that's, percentage-wise, that's an anomaly. If you consider all gun crimes, two instances in 90 years is an anomaly. That's a zero percentage rate. There's no 0.0000001. Yeah, it's an anomaly. There's no, virtually zero. I would take those odds any day if it meant I was on the good side of things. But that's what it takes. I mean, they had these laws in place for 90 years, and only two times have they ever been violated. And one time it was violated was a law enforcement officer. So it just goes to show you, even though it was violated, one of the times was a police officer or law enforcement officer of some sort. So it basically, it was creating a solution to something that is not a problem. There is no problem with this. Now, granted, have people used these things? Yes, but not legally purchased. Only twice have legally purchased devices of this sort been used in a crime. Now, granted, you see movies all the time where people have suppressors, and a suppressor is just basically a muffler. There's nothing more to it. It cuts down on the amount of noise it makes, so it protects your hearing, makes it easier and more comfortable to shoot. All right, well, let's see if we can get some laws passed this next year. If we get some president who's interested in providing us with more freedom. We hope it goes that way. I am Roger B. This has been Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.